Good to see everyone out this morning. If you're following along, we'll be in the book of Ephesians, starting in chapter 5, verse 1. You know, children are kind of an amazing thing. I heard this humorous story the other day. A father was at the beach with his children when his 4-year-old son ran up upon a dead seagull. So he grabbed his father by the hand and led him to the shore and showed him the seagull laying there in the sand. "Daddy, what happened to him?" his son asked. Well, the father, not wanting to upset the child too much, he said, "Well, he died and went to heaven," he replied. The boy kind of thought for a moment, looked down, and he said, "Well, did God throw him back down?" You know, our children learn a lot from us. And I know that with our little grandson, how he tries to imitate and how he gets frustrated because he can't talk. But he tries to talk. And how he, you know, tries to do with adults do. We see that in our children. They'll imitate us, and you know, little girls will put on mommy's clothes and makeup and play dress up, and little boys will act like they're going to work with dad or doing what dad does at work. Well, you know, in that same way, we need to be following and imitating God. So today, I want to talk to you about from Ephesians here about imitating our Heavenly Father from chapter 5. He has set a wonderful example here for us. And the simple rules for living as God wants us to. So let's look at our first few verses here in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Be imitators of God, therefore as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us, and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice for God." Now, if we notice that the Bible says, imitate God in everything you do. And that's not just imitate God and Jesus on Sundays, or any other time of the week that you may meet, or when you run into another Christian or anything like that. It's not just for spiritual activity. When we imitate God in everything we do, it's just a simple saying that really has a real broad application. We imitate God in our relationships with other people, in our thoughts, in our actions, in the life we live, in our work life, in leisure time, in business time. All this imitation centers around the sacrifice of Jesus on that cross. The pivotal event in the biblical word that we have is the sacrifice of Christ for our sins. And that's the focus of our life. That love and sacrifice that Jesus had for us. So we need to practice purity. We'll see in the next three verses, verses 3 through 5, what are some of the things we should be doing to follow God. "But among you there should not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." So, God's nature is pure and holy. That's the one thing that we can take into our hearts about God, is that He is pure and holy. You can count on Him to be who He is. It's one of the primary reasons we worship Him, because He is perfect in all ways and has given us a path whereby we can have a relationship to Him. Because God is holy and pure and righteous, He says those to those who follow Him in Leviticus 11, 44 and 45. Also in chapter 19, too, he says, "Be holy, because I am holy." Because God is who He is, then we need to strive for that. In the Garden of Eden, what happened when Adam and Eve became impure? God withdrew from them and no longer walked in the garden and communed with them when they became impure. If we're going to be close to God, then we need to strive to rid ourselves of these actions in our lives, of these thoughts, of what we think about. So the directive here is to refrain from from these sins of immorality and greediness. These are only the natural outcome of those who follow Jesus. If we believe that Jesus died for us, and we believe that God has the right path, then why are we willing to follow Him? That's what we should think about. Why should a believer of Christ want to follow Christ and rid himself of those influences? The biggest danger is what these sins do to our relationships. They're based on selfishness. Selfishness eats away at relationships. Selfishness rewards the selfish one and no one else. Purity, on the other hand, and generosity rewards us with strong relationship with those around us. They stand the test of time, and when we need, there are those who know and help us. And when they need, we should know and help them. God is unselfish, and He wants us to be like Him in that way. Our friendship with our Father and others will not be enjoyable unless we walk in that holiness. Don't you feel better when you get, you know, you kick a sin out of your life, or you kick a bad habit out of your life, and you do better than you did before, and you're not falling into sin as much? Don't you feel better when you resist temptation and step away from it and follow the path that God wants you to? Then we should strive to enjoy that feeling and not give in to that temptation. People say, well, how dare God get rid of me? I didn't do anything that bad. Well, we're all underneath that sentence. We're all sinners and fall short of that. But God is pure and God is holy. And that's what we should strive for in our lives. We'll never achieve perfection. We'll always have some failing. That's what the blood of Jesus is there for. But we need to strive. That should be the purpose. If you're not striving for holiness, doesn't that show, as James might tell us, that you're not really interested in it? That you're only paying lip service to God? That it doesn't mean a whole lot to you? But if you're striving to do your best, if you're working on the sins in your life, if you're striving to know more about the Word of God, doesn't that show you're interested in God and what He has? It makes simple sense. If we're going to be with God, then we have to run that race and strive to be with Him. You know, we don't like impurity ourselves. If something's dirty, we'll wash it again. And, you know, if we think something's tainted in any kind of way, we'll get rid of it. And God is that same way. He wants things pure and holy. Just as we don't want to have something dirty. The Bible reminds us that our lives ought to be characterized by purity. Verse 4 says, instead, let there be thankfulness to God. Don't engage in those things that lead to sin and death. But be thankful to God that He's found a way for us to be saved. And look what it took. Several thousand years of putting up with man. Making rules that people broke. A people that couldn't follow Him implicitly. That He had to punish over and over again. For Jesus to come and live among them. To leave this world. To sit at the right hand of the Father. And yet have so many people who either reject Him, don't want to know Him, or want to grasp heaven, but not really follow Him and do what He says to do. They'll work it out their own way, in their own selfish way. They'll follow God. But that's not the way God works. So what does thankfulness to God have to do with overcoming things like immorality, impurity, greed, and the other filthy things? All selfishness is based on the fearful premise that if we don't watch out for ourselves, no one is going to watch out for us. Take greed. What puts greed into action? People are fearful they're not going to have enough. So they try to get more than their share. They're inwardly focused instead of outwardly focused. They look and serve their own needs instead of the needs of others. Thanking God realizes that God has us in His hand. That everything we have comes from God. When we think about being greedy, we're being greedy with what God has given us. Instead of helping those who need, who don't have that handout sometimes, who don't have that gospel in their life. That's what we should be doing. We should be thankful and not self-centered and focused on ourselves. God has a sharing nature. His blessings rain upon the just and the unjust. He gave his son for the just and the unjust. And so few accept him. Yet he still did it because of the love of you. We need to live as people of the light. Verses 6 through 9 in Ephesians 5. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. You know, those words ring today just as they do back then. Don't be fooled by anyone who would tell you that you can get away with it, that you can be disobedient to God, that you don't have to follow God the way He wants to, or the way these people say you want to. You can do it any way you want to. God will accept you. That's not what this Bible here says. That's not what the whole Bible tells us about God. He does not excuse their disobedience. We need to follow God and love God and be His obedient. Jesus said when we were studying John, towards the end, He said, follow me. If you love me, keep my commandments. Just as I love the Father and keep His commandments. Does that tell us we can do whatever we want? No, that tells us there's someone wiser who leads us and we should obey Him. Verses 10 and 11. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. So we should have nothing to do with disobedience. It says find out what pleases God. And I only know one place for that, and that's the Bible. Yeah, the preacher may get up there and tell you what to do. Your neighbor may tell you what to do. The elders of the church may tell you what to do. And, you know, your friend may tell you what to do. But if they're doing it right, they're only repeating what the Bible has told us here. And friends, I want to seek out what this Bible says. And I'm going to do what this Bible says to the best of my ability. And I hope that as time goes by, I can do it even better and better. Because that's what God wants me to do. I am going to strive to follow God the way He wants me to. And if we want to be in heaven, to be with God, then we need to take heed to what Paul is telling us here. Carefully determine what pleases God and refute that which doesn't please Him. Expose what is not right and keep what is right. He goes on to tell us not even to talk about immoral behavior. Don't gossip about it. I know we have to refer to it and bring it up that these things go on. But this is not something of idle gossip with snickers or anything like that, where people, you know, laugh about what's going on. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is the light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Friends, people need to wake up to what this Bible says. They need to wake up to the truth of what this Bible here says. Because there's no other measure, there's no other ruler, there's nothing else we can measure what a Christian is but by this book here. And that measurement is obedience to Christ, acceptance of Him, love of Christ and God and all those in the world who are lost, as well as those in the church. But we don't snicker about those kind of things. We don't talk about those kind of things in a funny way. They're not the things that we should be paying attention to. People need to wake up, as Paul said, and we need to wake up and pay attention to what God wants us. From this day forward, if we've been sleeping, we need to wake up and pay attention to that. And we need to live wisely. From verse 15 to 20 in our text, be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spirituals. spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father and everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence. So, we need to obey God. We need to follow Him. We need to speak to each other in hymns and songs so that we can learn from each other. You know, when we're sinning, we don't like to be reminded of those verses that say that's a sin. We kind of blank those things out of our mind. We don't pay attention to it too much. But when we hear it, maybe it can convict our heart and cause us to change back. That's why we assemble. That's why we get together as Christians, so that we can share together, so that we can hope together, and so that we can watch each other's back, so to speak. So that if someone's falling away, we can help restore them. I heard this story once. It's been four grueling years of computer science courses for a guy named John, but the end was in sight. With only one more semester before graduation, he realized he still needed some general science course to fulfill his graduation requirements. Rushing to the registry, he found only one course still available, and it was Birds and Their Habitat. Not too interested, but he signed up for it. Like many elective courses at the university, the class was large, taught by one of the professor's assistants. As the semester continued, the workload increased, and he found himself spending more and more time studying birds. He thought it would be an easy course. To make matters worse, the professor offered only one test at the end of the semester to determine each student's grade. He was only going to have one chance to pass his course. It was all or nothing. 2 weeks prior to the final, he began to cram and rereading the class books and the notes that he had, and as he walked into the exam room, he was confident he was going to pass, but would fly through the test with little effort. But as he began the final, he discovered each question centered around a picture of a pair of bird legs. He was to identify each bird by its legs. No other characteristics but its legs, and then answer the corresponding question. He couldn't believe it. He studied so hard, and it all came down to his ability just to recognize what a bird's legs look like. He answered the best he could, but he struggled with the class for over an hour. He finally marched down to the front where the professor of the class was standing and put the test down into a pile of other exam books. He said, "This is the sorriest class, and you are the worst professor on this campus." As he started out the door, the shocked professor finally got his composure and yelled back, "What is your name, young man?" John turned, he pulled up his pants leg and held it in the air and replied, "You're so smart, you figure it out." You know, when everything and everything around you tells you that you must conform to their stupidity, realize that there's one wiser who will guide you to the true path of knowledge. Now, if you're going to identify a bird, you're going to see more than just his legs. And you don't have to conform to that. You know, obviously he was probably going to make an F on this test, but he made his point, which was a good point, despite the grade, is that there's more to it than just that. You know, Abraham Lincoln, I probably told you this before, but he was conversing with a friend, and he said, "Well, how many legs does an elephant have?" "Well, four," a friend said. "Okay," he said, "what if we name his tail a leg?" "Oh," he said, "then he's got five." Lincoln said, "No, he's still got four. Just because you name something doesn't make it so. And just because someone wants to make it easy to get into church and follow Jesus and not have to obey all the rules that he set forth, they're not doing anyone a favor. Preaching to itching ears is not doing anyone a favor. That's labeling a deadly poison with something, you know, like candy or a vanilla extract or something like that we would put in food or something. So we need to remember and follow the words here that we need to walk in the counsel of God, and we need to imitate God, and we need to be about the Father's business, and we need to hold those truths that He's given us as those truths, and we need to strive, as Jesus says, to obey the Father, and that's love. If we truly love Christ, then we're going to obey Him. And we're not going to question it, we're not going to change it, we're not going to do anything. But we're going to not focus on ourselves and focus on others. striving to rid ourselves of all the impurity in our hearts, so that we might be a good example and help others find Jesus. I don't know what your needs are this morning or what your condition is, but won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.